Tanta Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Enticing the Earl by Kathleen Ayres, narrated by Christy Woods. Chapter 1. London, 1842.
Mrs. Honeywell?
Oleana sneezed, scratched at her nose, stretched her fingers in the direction of her quarry. Just another inch or so. Her entire body, save the back of her legs, was beneath the bed. She was sure her skirts had ridden up to reveal her ankles, a scandalous display that was yet another sign of her unsuitability for her current position. The clearing of a throat sounded behind her. Annoyance reached Oleana, even under a thick feather mattress.
Mrs. Honeywell?
Oh, yes, right. I'm Mrs. Honeywell. What is it, Wilbert?
She addressed the Earl of Monteith's butler, her words muffled by dust and four-poster bed.
There's been another incident.
Disdain dripped from his words. Oleana kept her eyes focused on the dark depths beneath the bed and the task at hand. Grabbing Miss Straw's leg, she pulled hard as the butler's words sunk in. Oh dear, an incident. She inhaled a cloud of dust and sneezed again. Perhaps she should assign a maid or two to clean under the beds in the guest rooms. It was what a well-trained housekeeper in the employ of an earl would do. Unfortunately, though Oleana was Lord Monteith's housekeeper, she wasn't really trained to manage the staff or work in tandem with a smug, self-important butler. All her experience had been as a vicar's wife, one whose main task had been sitting in a pew in the front row of the church, nodding politely when required, and tending to the necessities of her husband's flock. A task that had usually consisted of visiting sick villagers and delivering bread, which she hadn't baked. The vicarage had a housekeeper, whose duties also extended into the kitchen. Oleana tried mightily to remember the tasks Mrs. Bellwether performed, but all she could recall was dusting and placing delicious meals on the table. She pulled out the troublesome Miss Straw, grasping the doll triumphantly in one hand, and promptly hit her head on the sturdy walnut of the bed's frame. Blast!
You are a disaster, Wilbert hissed. One can only hope such an injury will knock some sense into you, Mrs. Honeywell, or perhaps remind you of your duties. I am hopeful you will soon disappear from whence you came.
Oleana took in the priggish butler. Lady Elizabeth's doll was missing.
Oh, yes. I keep forgetting you've managed to insinuate yourself with Lord Monteith's daughter, causing the dismissal of Miss Abercrombie.
Wilbert leaned over.
Mark my words, Mrs. Honeywell. The truth will yet come to light.
She pushed herself up from the floor, rubbing her head. If you will recall, Mr. Wilbert, I asked Lord Monteith to please keep Lady Elizabeth's governess, as I am merely a housekeeper. Guilt had propelled Oleana to recommend Miss Abercrombie be kept on, but she had felt terrible someone might lose their position because of her. But it was clear to everyone, especially Lord Monteith, that his daughter had a marked preference for Oleana and hadn't cared for her governess. Oleana didn't blame Elizabeth. Miss Abercrombie's sharp edges and harsh manner weren't the least appealing to a child of six with a curious mind. Wilbert sniffed.
You are inepter at being a governess or nursemaid than a housekeeper.
Truthfully, she was qualified for none of those positions, of course. But what she did possess was honest, genuine affection for her employer's daughter. And an unexpected, unwelcome attraction for Elizabeth's father, Lord Monteith. My methods might not be as structured as Miss Abercrombie's. Wilbert waved away her protests, peering down his slender, hook-like nose, scolding her with his dislike.
Your presence has been requested in Lord Monteith's study.
A smug, toothy smile pulled at his thin lips.
immediately.
Oliana turned from Wilbert's hopefulness she'd be sacked to Miss Straw. The porcelain doll had gone missing days ago, dragged away to be tortured, no doubt. Tiny claw marks decorated the exquisitely tailored velvet dress. The sash around Miss Straw's waist had been shredded. The doll's ash-blonde hair looked to have been gnawed on. Oliana may have to cut out some of the worst knots and restyle the strands into something more suitable. Oh, dear. I'll be along in a moment, Wilbert. She stood, doll clutched in one hand and smoothed down the plain grey wool of her skirts. You needn't wait.
I'm to escort you.
He'd probably asked the Earl for permission to do so. Wilbert would have made an excellent guard at a jail, or perhaps an executioner. He so enjoyed the punishment of others. The butler had disliked Oliana from the moment she'd knocked on the Earl of Monteith's door, a recommendation from the Earl's elderly aunt clutched in one hand. Before Wilbert could toss her out, Oliana had started blathering away about Miss Simon. Miss Simon's fondest wish, Oliana had declared, was for her cherished housekeeper to find a position in London with her great-nephew, Lord Monteith. She'd stubbornly put one foot inside the door when Wilbert had tried to slam it shut in her face. It nearly taken her toes off. But Oliana, desperate and determined, would not be put off. After forcing herself inside Monteith's home, she'd repeated to Mr. Wilbert her well-rehearsed tale of an elderly woman whispering out her last wishes on her deathbed. Oliana had dangled the letter of recommendation from her fingers, Miss Simon's signature clearly visible, as the maids and two of the footmen had watched in stunned silence at the challenge to Wilbert. Mr. Wilbert, butler, and petty tyrant. Unable to throw her out now, not with witnesses who had seen the letter and heard the name of Miss Simon invoked, Wilbert had been forced to read the piece of paper. His eyes scanning the document, the lines around his mouth deepening with every word he read, Wilbert had snarled at Oliana to wait while he went to consult with Lord Monteith. Now Oliana was a housekeeper. An incredibly poor one. The tasks assigned to her had been light, given Wilbert already ran the household with efficiency. Her duties were nearly non-existent, and mainly consisted of walking about the large house with a set of keys dangling from her waist, and attempting to look important. Taking on the role as companion to Lady Elizabeth had been no hardship, nor had it taken Oliana away from anything of importance. She still couldn't find the main linen closet, the location of which changed depending on whom Oliana asked.
"Tick-tock, Mrs. Honeywell. Lord Monteith does not care to be kept waiting."
Brushing past the self-important butler, Oliana promptly stumbled into the doorframe, ignored Wilbert's snort at her clumsiness, and strode from the room with as much pride as she could manage. At least she didn't trip on her own skirts again, as she had the other day in front of one of the maids. Carrying Miss Straw, Oliana made her way to Monteith's study, the butler so close behind her she could feel his breath on the back of her neck. She swallowed down the mounting trepidation at having to face her employer. The upcoming conversation was bound to be unpleasant. Every discussion with Lord Monteith since her arrival had been of a frigid nature. Monteith was the sort of lord who considered himself vastly superior to nearly everyone else, as his ancient and much-lauded title dictated. He was quite tall, broad of shoulder and lean of form. He loomed over Oliana, often shooting annoyed looks down at her from his greater height. Her insides twisted pleasurably. Annoyed or not, Monteith possessed the most beautiful eyes, like slightly tarnished silver waiting to be polished. Stop mooning over him. The Earl might well sack her over this latest incident, which would force Oliana to plead for her position. She had nowhere else to go at present, and there was safety to be had in the Earl of Monteith's household. pasting what she hoped was a contrite look on her face, she waited as Wilbert knocked on the door with a sharp rap of his knuckles.
Come.
A deep voice rumbled from within. Annoyed, Monteith's usual tone when dealing with her or any of the other household staff. He always sounded as if something had soured in his mouth. Such a lovely mouth. Oleana pushed the thought aside. Monteith was also arrogant, intimidating, cold. She had yet to see his lips twist into anything other than a scowl. The fact he didn't like her in the least was largely her fault, and quite a shame, because she really was quite likeable, despite Wilbert's opinion. Wilbert swung open the door at the Earl's instructions, ushering Oleana inside with a little nudge at her back. The butler remained standing beside the door, determined to watch her humiliation. Oleana clutched Miss Straw tighter, shifting to hide the doll in her skirts. It was difficult to maintain one's sense of professionalism with a half-chewed doll hanging from one's fingers.
That will be all, Wilbert,
Monteith said pointedly from behind his enormous desk, without raising his gaze from the papers strewn across the top. The butler's mouth stiffened further, lips twitching, as he struggled to hide his disappointment at being dismissed from the dressing down Oleana was about to receive.
Should I take the liberty of having Mrs. Honeywell's things collected, my lord?
Oleana inhaled sharply. Presumptuous old codger.
I said, that will be all, Wilbert.
Bowing, Wilbert cast Oleana a look of utter loathing before finally retreating. She waited for Monteith's command to approach his desk, telling herself to remain perfectly still. Oleana took in the heavy dark wood of Monteith's desk, devoid of any ornamentation. Hideous, more appropriate for interrogating heretics during the Spanish Inquisition than sitting in an earl's study. She could well imagine Monteith as one of those terrifying inquisitors, if he weren't so bloody handsome. The rest of the room gave off the same austere, chilly ambience. Burgundy velvet, trimmed with gold, hung from every window, parted only enough to allow the weak sunlight to breach the interior of the room. Bookcases lined one wall, filled to overflowing. Once, while pretending to inspect the shelves for dust, Oleana had examined those bookcases, curious to see what sort of literature Monteith collected. Boredom had driven her away. Every tome focused on only one thing, battles and military strategy of the Romans and Greeks, particularly the Spartans. She glanced up at the Earl, who had still not bothered to acknowledge her. Two uncomfortable-looking chairs with high backs were positioned before the monstrous desk. A visitor was meant to sit in one of those chairs, looked down upon by Monteith, as he lorded over them at his pleasure, drumming his beautiful, elegant fingers against the desk. One would never have known she'd once been married to a vicar, given the nature of her thoughts concerning Monteith, most of which were incredibly improper. Correspondence sat in neat stacks to the left of the Earl, sorted by date, sender, and event. She knew the exact order, because Monteith's secretary, Jones, one of the two he employed, had failed to correctly alphabetize the middle pile and nearly been dismissed over the error. Monteith was particular about his correspondence. The pile at the far right of the desk, minuscule in comparison to the other two, held invitations to those events Monteith had agreed to grace with his austere presence. Oleana waited, her grip on Miss Straw growing clammy. The only sound was the ticking of the giant ormolu clock sitting atop the mantel and the scratch of Monteith's pen. Finally, he deigned to address her.
Mrs. Honeywell.
Monteith's massive shoulders had been somewhat hunched as he wrote, but now he straightened, leaning back in his chair, more a throne, she supposed. He pierced her with a frosty look. My lord? Oleana dipped, her eyes catching on the shining bits of orange fur caught on the now visible sleeve of Monteith's expensively tailored coat. She clutched Miss Straw tighter for support. Oleana willed her spiking pulse to calm as his glacial stare met hers. Despite Monteith's obvious displeasure, all directed at her, her heart fluttered about wildly inside her chest at being so near him. A far too common occurrence. Though he possessed the personality of an icicle in the dead of winter and rarely smiled, Monteith's physical appearance reminded Oleana of a prince in one of the fairy tales she'd read as a child. Strong jaw, chiseled cheekbones, full, far too sensual lips, thick, dark hair that, though clipped close to his head, still curled at the edges. He even smelled wonderful, pine and leather with a touch of spice. Sometimes she imagined him brandishing a sword and sitting atop a white horse, about to rescue a princess, which, of course, was Oleana.
Sit, Mrs. Honeywell.
A broad hand motioned to one of the horrid chairs. Oleana made her way over and sat, crossing her ankles before placing Miss Straw on her lap. The sparse cushion beneath her didn't possess enough padding to blunt the feel of the hard wood. Wiggling about, she tried to find a comfortable position. A nearly impossible task. Monteith cleared his throat, loudly.
Mrs. Honeywell, is there a problem with your chair?
No, my lord. The puff of orange fur on his sleeve glared at her. He was either unaware of the state of his coat, highly unlikely, or he planned to use the tuft of orange to make his point before having her dismissed. Far more probable.
We had an agreement when I offered you a position, did we not, Mrs. Honeywell?
The timbre of his voice was deceptively gentle, almost as if he was speaking to a lover. A small shiver travelled down her spine. We did, my lord. The silver of his eyes flickered over the doll in her lap.
I didn't know my daughter's favourite doll would be joining us. Miss Straw looks a bit...
A slight twitch of his lips.
Bedraggled.
Apologies, my lord. Lady Elizabeth misplaced Miss Straw. I had only just found her when I was requested to attend you in your study. I haven't yet had time to return her. A slight incline of his perfectly chiselled chin.
Really, why must he be so attractive?
Seems such a waste, given his demeanour.
I made several concessions when I agreed to your employment, Mrs. Honeywell.
Monteith paused for effect.
Compromises I was loath to make, and am rapidly coming to regret. Nevertheless, your associate seems anxious to jeopardise your position.
I apologise, my lord.
You are often apologising, Mrs. Honeywell, yet my household continues to suffer.
Suffer was rather a strong word. Yes, my lord. She drew Miss Straw up in her lap as a sort of shield. If he was going to throw her out, Oleana dearly wished he'd hurry things along. She was already composing her plea for clemency. The frosty glance ran over her, sparking bits of light against her skin. Though nothing, not even anger, shone in his eyes. The silver orbs remained flat and devoid of emotion. If Monteith knew his effect on her, he gave no indication. Arrogance dripped off the edges of his broad shoulders, across the stretch of his chest and the long lengths of his legs. His well-muscled legs. Oleana hastily looked down at her lap. What on earth was wrong with her?
I realise you made a deathbed promise to my great aunt concerning the beast.
he continued.
A laudable vow, and I respect her wishes to a point, but...
A streak of orange tumbled off the bookshelf and across the room, interrupting Monteith's speech. Something, probably expensive and irreplaceable, crashed to the floor. An entire row of thick tomes on the Peloponnesian War thumped against the rug, books spilling open, their pages exposed. Monteith's mouth, so oddly sensual for such a cold man, pursed in annoyance. Carrot, the large orange ball of fur that had lately become the bane of Oleana's existence, shot across the room, intent on wreaking havoc in Monteith's study. The cat paused, gave a feline roar, and leapt up the side of Monteith's chair. Oleana winced at the sound of claws sinking into the expensive leather. Carrot, uncaring of whether his presence was wanted, promptly settled atop the edge of the chair, teetering ever so slightly as he tried to regain his balance. One paw stretched over the Earl's shoulder as the big cat began to purr loudly in her employer's ear. Monteith raised a brow in Oleana's direction, irritation rolling off him in waves. But he didn't flinch, not even when Carrot's tail batted his ear. Oleana bit her lip, struggling not to laugh. This was an altogether dire situation.
This is unacceptable, Mrs. Honeywell.
It really was. Carrot was hugely spoiled, arrogant in a way only a cat could be. He did as he pleased, whenever he pleased. He was very much like the Earl of Monteith in that regard. Oleana sat up and placed Miss Straw on the chair, meaning to march around the desk and take Carrot from Monteith's shoulder. Monteith hissed in annoyance as Carrot's nose nuzzled his hair. Oh, goodness.
He likes you, my lord, she stuttered needlessly. I've no idea why.
Warmth flooded her cheeks.
What I mean to say is...
Monteith held up a hand.
Not another word. Get this beast off me. And keep him out of my study, Mrs. Honeywell. I don't want to see him, hear him, or find so much as a strand of orange anywhere on my person.
Yes, my lord.
If he so much as purrs in my ear, you will both be packed up and sent forthwith back to Shropshire, no matter the deathbed wishes of my great aunt. Is that clear?
Oleana made her way around the desk, carefully picking up Carrot. She cringed at hearing the snag of threads as one of his claws refused to let go of the Earl's coat.
Carrot, she whispered. Bad cat.
It was difficult to wrestle Carrot away from Monteith. The cat was heavy, fat, really. A large orange object that didn't wish to be moved. Her hip bumped into the corner of the desk, and she stubbed her toe. Monteith gave a sigh.
Her clumsiness was one more thing that annoyed Monteith.
Honestly, given how badly she and Carrot irritated the Earl, it was a wonder she'd lasted this long in his household. If it weren't for Lady Elizabeth, Oleana would probably be sleeping in the street. Her breast pushed against the Earl's shoulder, nipple tightening to a small peak at the brush against the muscles beneath his coat. Monteith's body grew taut.
He is barely feline,
he snapped in an icy tone.
So overfed, he rolls about rather than pounces. He should be living in the stables, attempting to earn his keep, though I doubt with his girth he has any chance of catching a mouse. I watched him chase a bird outside the window one day. A pathetic display of athleticism.
Carrot is very old, she said, in the cat's defence. He means no disrespect.
He's a menace, Mrs. Honeywell.
Carrot wasn't the least menacing, unless you were Miss Straw. The cat was very fixated on Lady Elizabeth's porcelain doll, just as he was Monteith. Neither returned his affections. Oleana sunk her fingers into Carrot's fur, her grip tightening around the struggling cat. Jason Simon, Earl of Monteith, tried without much luck not to stare outright at his housekeeper, or rather at the small dangle of copper curls hovering beneath one of her ears. He did so love the colour, like a fiery sunset or leaves in autumn. The strands sparkled in the sunlight, filtering across his desk, making his fingers twitch with the urge to unleash all that flame and feel those curls spill over his hands. When her breast had accidentally pushed into his shoulder mere moments ago, Jason had nearly come out of his chair. His attraction for this small slip of a woman who was the poorest, clumsiest, least subservient housekeeper any gentleman of his standing had ever employed, continued to grow, no matter how he struggled to tamp it down. The giant mass of fur named Carrot was the least of his concerns. Pressing his fingertips into the curve of his desk, Jason willed a splinter from the well-polished wood to pierce his skin. Anything to stop the constant stream of carnal thoughts about his housekeeper as she struggled to pull the obese cat from his shoulder. Mrs. Honeywell represented a particular sort of torture. Jason did not seduce the staff. It went against every honourable bone in his body. But almost from the moment Mrs. Honeywell had set foot in his house, tripping over the edge of every rug, knocking assorted knick-knacks off nearly every table in his home, terrible feline following in her wake, Jason had been overcome. He was surrounded by the most beautiful ladies in the ton on any given evening. Yet only this annoying woman aroused him to such an overwhelming degree. His cock had hardened the moment Mrs. Honeywell had shoved her letter of recommendation beneath his nose. Jason hadn't even needed a bloody housekeeper, especially one he imagined naked every time he saw her. But his aunt's letter, more of a plea for Mrs. Honeywell's employment than a recommendation, had given Jason pause, as had all that flaming copper hair. His fingers drummed loudly on the desk. Great Aunt Agatha, God rest her soul, had been a recluse until her death at the esteemed age of 91, early last year. His aunt had lived in Shropshire, just outside a tiny village with the unlikely name of Badger. Mrs. Honeywell's descriptions of her aunt's home matched Jason's memories, but if he recalled correctly, Aunt Agatha's household had been small, most of her servants as ancient as their employer. The chances his aunt had hired a stunning redhead as her housekeeper were so slim as to be impossible. Still, Jason hadn't visited Aunt Agatha for several years before her death. Things might have changed. And Mrs. Honeywell possessed the most magnificent hair. Her outlandish tale of working for his aunt could be true, in which case Jason felt obligated to retain her services. However, it had become clear since her arrival that Mrs. Honeywell hadn't a clue what was required of a housekeeper. Wilbert had already requested her dismissal several times. Jason had actually considered doing just that, despite his attraction to her, or because of it. But then he'd become aware of his daughter's marked preference for Mrs. Honeywell over that of her governess, Miss Abercrombie. Jason already hadn't cared for Miss Abercrombie, the fourth in a line of companions for his daughter. The woman had instructed the six-year-old Elizabeth to address him as Lord Monteith, not Papa. More unacceptable, Miss Abercrombie had informed Elizabeth of her lack of importance because she hadn't been born a male, and therefore an heir. Jason had been furious. Pushing aside such unpleasantness, he turned his attention back to Mrs. Honeywell. She stood before him, chin lifted mulishly, struggling to contain her savage beast of a cat while waiting for him to send her from the room. The light caught in her copper curls. Damn! His fingers drummed once more, disturbing the stack of invitations he had no intention of accepting. If he had to attend one more music...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?